Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report, episode 9. I'm Damien Fleming. We're going to get right into it today. East Sandringham legend, Bradley Hodge. Hodgie, good afternoon to you. Mate, first off though, can we get an East Sandringham update? How'd they go on the weekend? And how's the back-to-back premierships looking like?
It's going south actually, Flem. I'm very much excited to be here, but I didn't make the field on Saturday, unfortunately, for East Sandringham.
You had other commitments.
Yeah, I was overseas, actually, which is one of the talking points, a bit of an issue, I guess, for the local club cricketer. We do sometimes have commitments. I was overseas trying to get some employment, which we'll find out maybe later on.
Oh, geez, exclusive. Bowlology Report exclusive, potentially. Okay.
But, so we only had 10 batsmen on the weekend, and we lost to the French team La Page One by only 6 or 8 runs.
Oh, no. And you didn't have, what, 2 batsmen?
Yeah, so we...
happy with you.
Yeah, they're a bit devastated, probably... marginally unhappy, but
Mardo was good. He punched out 62 opening up.
He was awesome. The big dog was on fire. I think from what I saw the scorecard, we were none for 110 after 10 overs, chasing 230
home
and got done.
Good last week of partnership, 49 between Dallas and Hilton. Did you feel like they could get you over the line even though you weren't watching?
Well, Hilton's actually a Scottish boy.
Why is he batting so low?
Because he can't bat.
Okay.
That's a pretty good answer. He's not very good. He's a fast bowler. Great kid. Really enjoying coming out to Australia, getting some sunshine on his back. He's from a place in between Glasgow and Edinburgh. Good kid.
What's the classic traits of a Scottish cricketer?
Oh, pasty white skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Do they get sledged as much as English players coming out?
No.
We love the Scottish.
We've got a lot more respect for the Scottish. And we love Braveheart movies as well.
Yeah.
So we can all lend ourselves towards being Mel Gibson.
He doesn't paint up like Mel, does he? Because if he did that running in the bowl, fearsome.
At about 5:30 in the afternoon, he's a little bit pinkish. Yeah. Or blue. His skin colour is very pale, I must admit. So he's probably one that might be a how to do thing for anyone coming in from overseas.
It could be his trait.
Maybe
his niche.
Maybe get a tan before you come, or a spray tan to look like you actually fit into the competition.
A little bit of trivia on Scottish cricket. They participated in the 1999 World Cup over in England. After one ball, they faced the first ball of the tournament. They were none for 4.
Good start.
Yep, that was me.
Was it?
I got cover driven for 4 by some bloke. So he's a hero of Scottish cricket. They don't mind me over there. Hey, mate, what about the Sheffield Shield? With performances, the Vics lost to Queensland, New South Wales beat South Australia and Western Australia. It's fair to say it was a reasonable collapse there from Tasmania.
Unbelievable, yeah. And I don't know whether it's a pink ball thing, but... there's some seriously good performances in there. I really like this. I like the pink ball. I like the fact that we've seen some serious statistics there for some bowlers.
Yeah.
I think Sheffield Shield cricket for me has been pretty boring and mundane of late because of the dropping wickets. And they don't really... nothing happens. They're all the same around the world.
I reckon they put a bit more grass on the to protect the pink ball.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know for the first year, I think that the millimetres, I think they cut them down to about 8 or 10 in a normal...
I think they've increased them from there.
Yeah, they've gone up to about 14 mil. So good things for fast bowlers around there. I like it. Some serious performances.
Good performances, but I tell you what, who just booked himself for the Gabba, if he wasn't already in, was Usman Khawaja. So if you say about bowler-friendly conditions... I watched a bit of it on cricket.com.au and he looked like he was having a net in the second innings.
Yeah, well...
He just cruised to 100.
Not good for us bush rangers.
No.
But well done, Uzi. He's a serious player. Had a bit to say in the media coming
off. But backed
off.
It up.
Absolutely. We love that. We love to have a gun and fire a few shots and hit a few targets if you have to. But well done, Uzi.
Because the headlines would have been written if he'd failed... And you're coming out and sledging the selectors.
Yep.
And Stephen Smith didn't give him a lot of love either. You know, well, it's about, you know, he's had opportunities over there in the subcontinent. But, you know, Uzi, beautiful. 40 and 100.
Well done. Superstar.
Number six. We're talking about it every week, Hodgie. You know why?
Because
we still don't know who's batting number. Yeah, they're no good.
It's a problem. And the candidates we talked about have done absolutely nothing to justify their cause.
I'm going to go through the scores. Yes, so please. Cartwright, the best of them, he's 61 and 38.
Yeah.
Maxie went up the order for Bush Rangers, 7 and 20. Sean Marsh, all of a sudden there's a lot of people talking about Sean Marsh, 63 and 11. Marcus Stoinis, 9 and 32. Travis Head, he's got his fans, 8 and 0. Nick Mannison, I don't know why he's being talked about at number six because he's opening. And you know how we question whether, why is Nick Mannison opening? We continue the question because he punched out 5 and a duck.
Good contribution.
Why is he opening?
Oh, I don't know. I can't understand that from New South Wales. You know, they left out Ed Cowan, who's a proven run scorer.
He'd be pretty handy in those conditions.
Yeah, and we talked about that. We thought it was a good decision to leave him out for the benefit of the game and for cricket. But Daniel Hughes, who is the opener for New South Wales, bats 6, and Maddo, who we talked about, who can potentially destroy teams at number 6.
Doesn't move his feet a lot, but a very good strike of the ball, Nick Mannison.
He goes and opens and clunks a couple of times, and he's probably gone back to square one. So we want to think about how they're managing these players as well, and what the talk is there any sort of, you know, direction from the selectors to say that Nick could possibly be a number 6. So let's bat him in that area.
You would have thought the feedback was we see him as an opener, which is absolutely bizarre. But I'm right with that. It's really hard to, you know, if you're bat number 3, it's easier to go up and open. But if you've been a middle order batsman, to go up and open is just a total ball game. So where do they see him as a player? They picked him as a number, was he 5 or 6 in the test he played last
played
year?
5, I think.
I don't see where it benefits. Highest he should bat is number 4.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that openers are a special breed, and I think they are...
They can be a weird breed.
They are weird.
They have bromance, don't they? They tend to love each other. You know,
Langer, Hayden, bromance, and Rogers
Elliot
and...
Elliot and Armburger, cheese?
They had a bromance on the field.
And off the field.
Not a lot of dialogue anywhere from the cheese and
did
Elliot.
Did cheese have a lot of dialogue off the field anyway? Like when he went interstate, he kept to his room a bit, cheese.
All he did is talk about how good Derek is. Now, for those that don't know, Derek's his brother who played for Penrith. And cheese, I think, probably...
This is Jason Armburger we're talking about. Very good opener, batsman for Victoria.
So Cheeseburger would have... He talks like this, actually. He's got a high-pitched voice and he would have got 6,000 or 7,000 runs for Victoria. He reckons that Derek would have doubled that for sure if he had got the opportunities. He reckons he had the best Asian wrists in Sydney, even though he wasn't Asian.
No.
But he was now able to whip a ball through mid-wicket from 2 feet outside off stump.
But those tend to get nicked for sticks if you're not timing well. I just remember he got runs against the West Indies one day, Jason Armburger, and I was injured for a change in the gym, and a few of the West Indian boys are there, and they just kept going, "Where's Hamburger?
Yeah.
Where's Hamburger?" They loved him just because he hooked.
He got
anyone that hooked, they just loved.
He got 100 too, I reckon, the cheeseburger.
Yeah. Hamburger, Hamburger. Where's Hamburger?
Where the Hamburger? Where the Hamburger? Where the Hamburger? Where the cheeseburger? Where the lot? They loved him.
Just a little one too. Moses Henriquez, another number 6, 11 and 4 not out. So stay tuned with 2 more Shield games. So good luck. No doubt we'll be talking about it next week as well. Each week we talk about this, the wicketkeepers, the glovemen, the centrepiece to any team. We still don't know who's wicketkeeping for the first test. Wadey, no runs, 1 and 6, took 3 catches.
Yeah.
Peter Neville, 20 and didn't bat, so he had the opportunity to get a big one, took a catch, he dropped one easy one actually, Peter Neville. And Alex Carey, 12 and 4, couple of catches. What do we read into that, brother?
Again, it's just as much information as a number 6. It's chuck him in the hat and pull a name out and see who wants it. See whose name comes out. I think that there's not a lot to read into that. I think that
it must be so frustrating for the 3 of them because they know one strong performance could get them in.
Yeah, and it might not even come to that. It might just be a recommendation from the selectors that we're just going to back one of them in and take a punt. Yeah, they've changed their direction a couple of times from, you know, Neville, who was a safe gloveman.
There is.
But didn't get much batting out of him, to Wadey, who they wanted more batting, but didn't get the result.
A little bit of lip too from Wadey. Come on, boys.
Yeah, look.
Get in on.
Well, someone had to step up with the Reverend, you know, being in service for
the last couple of years. We still haven't worked out couple of years opening for Australia, Reverend or Bull. We'll work that out before the first
We'll work it out. But Adam Gilchrist, in between his Google visits and so forth.
Running the world.
He posted on, was commenting on cricket.com that he thinks Alex Carey might be the one to come in there. And the one thing which you know is when you get endorsed by a legend like Gilly, it's nearly a done thing.
The selectors wouldn't want to take on Gilly.
No chance.
You take on Gilly, you know, your phones are tapped.
Yep.
There's no Google visits for you.
No chance. He just rings his mates at Microsoft.
Why can't Gilly just select teams?
Well,
Why do we worry with 5 other blokes?
He can do everything else. He's Channel 10, of course, with you. He's Channel 10 in Formula 1. He's at Google. He's in the Vatican from time to time.
He's on boards.
And he probably plays golf as well, so he might be able to...
Doesn't even try.
He could select.
Golf, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that point. Very topical, Bradley. Actually, one little option. It'd be something outside the square, but I was reading during the week, the married couple, Australia's favourite married cricket couple, Mitchell Starc and Lisa Healy, who we'll talk about a little bit later. She's keeping beautifully at the moment. They met in an under-12 rep team. They were both keepers.
Right.
They were both keepers.
Did she bowl fast as well?
No.
So it wasn't like under-12s where you bat, the best players bat, bowl and keep. No.
Starkey was keeping. So I was just thinking, well, you know, he's done a bit in the past. Can he open up with the new ball and then keep to the spinners, potentially?
Good call. So just give the gloves to the Reverend. So, mate, while I'm bowling, you have them. As soon as I'm done,
I've got Pete Hanscom there. He could do 10 overs.
Why not?
Even though he's come out and said he doesn't believe he could keep at test level. And I just want him to get his batting going there. Fast bowling cartel, we talked about in there. Mitchell Starc, 8 for 73. Great to see our leader fit and firing. Watching some of the highlights, Hodgie, I don't know if you played with or against bowlers like him, but the real X factor for me is the batsmen know what's coming.
Yeah.
They still get bowled or LB.
What I saw was...
And Travis Head, he knocked over last year, I reckon, with 2 in-swinging balls that were so similar. So Travis knew what was going, and he just knocks them over.
It was unreal. What I loved is when he came around the wicket and... You shouldn't miss him as a batsman.
You missed him.
And I think there was 3 or 4 dismissals that just saw the stumps just cartwheeling back.
Exciting.
And, you know, there was no swing. It was just genuine angle and pace. He looked good when he was running in, didn't he, and letting the ball fly. Exciting
stuff. It was so exciting. I mean, for all the batting and the spinning and the wicket-keeping, I mean, everyone gets excited by the big quicks. And it looks like we're going to have them, besides James Pattinson, who is going for a fusion of his back. So a lot of New Zealand quicks have had it done. Shane Bond, the most famous of them, and played cricket after that. It sounds like Alex Contreras, reading a few of his quotes, he's got 4 old stress fractures that just don't repair.
Yeah.
James Pattinson. Doesn't matter what they do. So the last thought from doctors is to use surgery, but it says to me that it's almost that, well, we've got nothing more we can do from a non-surgery end, so get it done. So hopefully Paddo can get it done. I know Bond was still a bit injury prone after that, but he still played a fair bit of cricket.
Yeah.
You know, at least James, hopefully, if he can get this fusion of the back and they're putting in wires in there and bone and everything like that, that we can see him back on the field.
It doesn't sound great, does it? The process or screws. The surgery is what you have to go through, but I think he's frustrated as well. I think this is a, look, we need to do something about this and a bit of a last resort. But look, even if Jimmy doesn't come back as a, you know, a 150 bowler and he's a 137 bowler.
He bats well.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. He can develop into a serious all-rounder. It might just be a different role. We hope not. We hope that he can send those thunderbolts down as he's done. But I think it's not all lost if it doesn't come back with a loss of 5% out of him. He's a gun.
So Richard Hadlee, Dennis Hilly, we saw them change their pace a little bit
and
still be productive. Just through the other fast bowlers, Patrick Cummins didn't take a heap of wickets, but I don't care. He's fit.
He's gone.
Josh Hazlewood, you know, the grunter muscle. You wouldn't have done one of them, the side ones. Everly's ahead of schedule, played a grade game, so he'll play Shield games 2 and 3. So they're locked in. So who's 12th man? Nathan Coulter-Nile, Jackson Bird, or Chad Sayers?
I think Coulter-Nile, actually. I like the way that he came in back into the Australian setup in India and swung the ball and bowled to the plans, got Virat out, you know, for a duck in one of them games. I like him. Why? Because he's scary.
Yeah.
We love Nathan Coulter-Nile. He's got the ability to bowl.
Slippery.
Fast. He's got a good bumper.
Gets bounce off a length.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
And he's a gun athlete. I'm not saying that gets you selected. He's got a good record anyway. So I just don't think that they're ever going to pick Chad Sayers on the facts
in Australia.
We have these express fast bowlers. And I know that Darren Liam wants these express fast bowlers in his side. The other thing is as well is that you got to look into conditions. And
if it's grassy conditions, Sayers has to be a chance though.
Yeah, and that's what you got to look at. But we always talk about the Gabba being bowler friendly. First test, it is actually never bowler friendly. It's you have to bowl well, and usually it's a high scoring game. So yeah, I think he's one of the ones which might have to come into consideration, maybe at Perth, but then Perth's been flat as well. So it's hard to find a way in there. Jackson Bird's just the guy that backs up these guys. But, you know, when you have Nathan Coulter-Nile and these guys up and running, bowling well at sort of high.
I first saw him in the Australian Under-17 Championships. He ran in a long way, jumped really high and found out he was the Under-17 Australian volleyball player.
Yeah.
So that'll make the pre-match warm-ups good. You'd have him in your team, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would.
He's
you
just
would.
Spiking him. Probably trying to take out the other fast bowlers. He's an athlete.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
Are England cricketers athletes?
Not traditionally.
No, we've had James. They've arrived. We haven't heard a lot from them. James Vince, one of the potential top five batsmen, he's come out and he said, we're not worried about the quicks. We're not worried about the quicks. They come back from injury. Cummins hasn't played a lot of cricket. Hasn't played in Australia. You know, we feel like we've got the batting depth to worry the Australians. And I'd like to be the Australian quicks. There's question marks.
I don't think that that's Glenn McGrath-like and he'll back that up with 500 runs.
Yeah,
I can't see that happening from Vincey, especially when you only average 19 in Test cricket.
In 7 Test matches.
It's not really...
I did that over 20.
Yeah.
I averaged 19.
Well, you're a good player.
Not really.
We'd love to see if Vincey's a good player, actually.
I'd like to see him play a few of my Gabba shots.
But
what about their top five? I mean, the thing is, I remember as a kid, you'll be too young, Hodgie. 86-87 Ashes. England end up winning maybe 3-1.
Mm.
And it was guys like Chris Broad.
Yep.
I think scored 300s.
Yep.
They had a keeper called Jack Richards who scored 100. So there's a couple of unknown players that come in and did really well. And I think that's the opportunity here that there's two spots. I think Stockman will open.
Yeah.
And we've got Cook and Root who are very great players. So it's number 3 and number 5. Who do you reckon will play there out of Vince, Balance and Milan?
If I was a selector, I'd probably choose Milan at number 5. I think he's
why is that?
He's a pretty good player. He's a good gifted stroke player.
Okay.
That would be vulnerable to a new ball if he's exposed to a new ball, as are all middle order players. He's probably the pick of those three. Balance, I'm not so sure about, because for me, Balance is a guy that can just allow pressure to be built on other players, that he doesn't score.
He blocks half volleys, and I just think at test level, you'll eventually good enough, get a good enough ball that knocks you over.
Yeah.
But then also what you're saying, the pressure it puts on your partner at the other end.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, if you can be grinding away, but if you're not scoring, you know, from both ends, that's the thing. As a player like Balance, he could face 30 balls and only score 2 runs. And what that does, it stunts the play of the other player, and you feel pressure then coming from both ends.
Oh, hey, Hodgie, you're not going to believe this. I believe we've got another phone call.
Who's calling in now?
Lisa from Annandale. Have you got a question?
Yeah, hi, guys. I just wanted to talk to you about women's cricket. You don't seem to be talking a lot about the women's game, and it's disappointing because I don't know if you guys know, the women actually played the first World Cup 2 years earlier than the men, 1973.
Well, we were just about to get there, Lisa. I mean, do you follow the women? Have you been following the women's Ashes?
I think there's been some exciting cricket going on. 3 ODIs, Australia leading 4 points to 2.
Oh,
it's been some great cricket to watch.
What is it?
I know that voice. It's Lisa Stelaker. It's Australian legend.
No way,
Lisa Stelaker, 8 tests. Over 101 days, 50 T20 games. Lise, mate, thanks for joining us.
How are you going?
What about the third one dayer? What happened there with the girls?
Oh, it's a bit disappointing. They started off the chase really well. They opening partnership of 119 between Elisa Healy and Nicole Bolton, and neither one, unfortunately, could go on and get 100 because they would have come through, I think, and won that. But England fought back, and credit to them, because if Australia had gone 6 points up in the women's Ashes, it would have been very difficult for them to come back.
All over. We look, I'm not sure you've subscribed to our podcast, if that's what you're saying. We've been talking up women's Ashes for the last 3 episodes.
Yes.
And one of the ones things we love about the women's Ashes is that the point system. We love the point system across all 3 forms of the game. And we were trying to talk it up about how the world sport of men's could possibly be
could take a lead from
on it. A point system, because we love that you can walk away after the tournament and say either Australia's a better cricket team or England are a better cricket team. Not test team, not one day team, but an overall or T20, an overall cricket team. I love that concept.
Are you happy with the format, Lise?
Yeah, I am. I'll be honest, having played in the Ashes myself, and when they brought in over the 3 formats, I'm like, oh, don't mess with tradition. But this is sometimes the issue with cricket. We tend to be steeped in tradition. But I've been impressed with how over the 3 formats, it actually creates some drama over the month, and the crowd, the supporters really get into it. And like you said, it really does test all the formats, and you find out who's the better cricket team across the 3 different formats.
Now, Lee, so I've got a question for you, actually, and this is important to me because I'm a batsman and Flem's a bowler, of course. What do you treasure most, a 5-wicket haul or making a ton? Because you have both.
Genuine all-rounder, Lee.
Exactly. You have a 6-for-114 as your best and 120 not out. Which one do you cherish the most?
I'm going to have to go with you, Hodgie. Yeah. I think it's the runs. Sorry, Flem.
Anyone can score runs. You need 20 wickets to win a test match, Lisa.
You do. But see, all my junior career, I opened the batting, and batting was something that I really enjoyed. Was something that allowed me to stay in the game and not get too bored out in the field.
I can.
And you're a good fielder too.
I can relate to that. I fielded for 72 overs last Saturday and didn't get a bat this weekend. I got sledged by some lady named Carrie Fisher.
What'd you say?
She just said, "What, are you not good enough to
turn up?
Yeah,
to 2 weeks
not good
in
enough
a row.
To turn up 2 weeks in a row to your club game." So anyway, I can relate to that. I love a bowl from time to time. It just passes the time a little bit quicker than normal.
Hey, Lise, what about the day-night test match? How and the pink ball? You know, how exciting will that be at the North Sydney Oval? Expecting good crowds, and there's a couple of practice matches beforehand to give the girls a chance with the pink ball.
Yeah, and going to be really crucial because whilst we have played with the pink ball in the past, it's only been for one-day cricket during the day. So we're not sure how it's going to react during that twilight period. So the fact that also the teams don't really play that much test cricket, it's only really between each other every 2 years, just shows that this is a bit of an unknown. Test cricket and the fact that it's going to be under lights with the pink ball, I think it's going to be a wonderful spectacle. And I really hope that the crowd in Sydney are able to kind of flock to North Sydney Oval, which I think is such a cute boutique ground, I think perfect for the test match. It's actually the same venue where I first saw women's cricket, which was a test match as well. So I think it's kind of cool that it's going back there. And if you can't watch there, if you can't actually get to the ground, you can actually watch it on cricket.com.au because it'll be live streams.
Have we got any special commentators for that test match?
Flem, are you free?
I'm free? But I think there's better ones than me. What's the commentary team?
The commentary team is actually going to be all female. Charlotte Edwards, who former England
captain, great,
most capped player in the women's game, Isha Guha, Melanie Jones and myself. Oh. So two poms.
Dream team.
It's going to be pretty fierce in the commentary box.
Dream team.
Well, look, if you're not watching on cricket.com, get yourself to North Sydney. We've talked about North Sydney.
We might fly out.
And how we love that as a cricket venue.
Yeah.
And how they didn't use it to their benefit in the JLT Cup.
No.
Hopefully they use it to the benefit in the Ashes. Do you know if any of the ladies are colourblind at all? Like... Chris Rogers, I'm colourblind.
Yeah, and Bradley.
I hated the pink ball and struggled for that reason, and so did Chris and a few others. Do you know any of the girls that are colourblind or have tested it out?
Not to my knowledge. Like I said, we have played with the pink ball before. Not all the players have. I guess we'll find out over the next 3 days. Maybe a few players will all of a sudden realise they are colourblind, or they'll blame it on that if they can't.
Make a duck regulation.
Absolutely. If you get a good one early, you go, I'm colourblind, I can't see it. Yeah, I'm with that. I used to use that excuse, was a good one.
I should have used that excuse with the Red Bull. I made a lot of first ball ducks. Megan Shute, 10 wickets in 3 one-day internationals. Are you happy with the way she's going? And surely her in-swingers will be affected with this pink ball.
Yeah, I've been so impressed with her. The fact that she's picked up 4 for 26 off 8 and then 4 for 44 in the last match. She was the one that really stopped the English side's posting something in the vicinity of 320. So she's been really impressive. And I think she will be very effective with the pink ball. The other bowler that I've been really happy with and great to see her getting back to what she was known for is Elise Perry. She's swinging the ball. She's bowling the ball with a bit more heat on it. She's done some work with Matthew Hoggard, so obviously it's going well. He doesn't mind her taking a few poms wickets, but I think she's going to be quite dangerous come the test.
She's ready to fire, is she? That's good news. What about Amanda J. Wellington? How do you think she's done really well in the couple of 1 days? How do you think she'll go, you know, bowling in a test match?
Well, the great thing is that she's a leg spinner who really gives it a rip. So there's not a lot of spin on the track, you'd expect the wrist spinner to be able to extract something out of it. In the first ODI, she went none for 39 off 10 and should have gotten a wicket. It's one of the best spells of bowling that I've seen that has gone wicketless.
Bit of drift in, turning past the bat. Very good to see.
Very exciting to see. And I think she's going to be really effective in the test match because the English players have struggled to play her. So, you know, put a few more fielders around the bat.
We like that.
Get them into doubt and play some full shots. So she's going to be really crucial, and she'll be making her test debut. And I'm hoping and fingers crossed that she does get selected for the test match.
Lise, plenty of controversy too in the one-day series. What's your thoughts on England's Jenny Gunn and the whiff ball? Was that your stock ball, the whiff ball?
No, thank you, Flynn. A little bit quicker than that, thank you. But maybe I should have bowled a few more given how the Australian batters really struggle. It's like 60, just over 60 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
It is that slow.
I just love naming the ball. Because I think young Amanda Jade Wellington's talking about some mystery balls. It's sounding a bit like Mornie for me. Until you see it, you believe it. But the width ball at 65 kilometres out didn't work. Just quickly, what about the Women's Big Bash this year? Are you excited? Can you commentate and play at the same time?
I've done 2 years of that, Flem, and I've seen the light.
No, I mean in one game.
To be in the commentary box.
Ah. No, I disagree with that. I put my hand up for things like that. I reckon there's a way forward.
No, it's come on, guys. As you get a little bit older, it takes a little bit longer to recover. You end up doing more fitness stuff just to keep up with the youngsters and actual skills. True.
Yeah. Although in Channel 10, we do go through our pre-routine commentary, warm-up and fitness activities. Who do you think excels best at that?
Well, I was going to say, all I see you all the time is changing your clothes in public areas. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry, mate, you're breaking up a little bit, Lise. Hey, thanks for joining us. Lisa Stalaker, Aussie legend, a wily off-spinner, a wily commentator. Good luck to the Aussies, Lise.
Thanks, Flem. Thanks, guys.
See you, Lise.
What a legend, hey?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's a very good commentator. I like the commentary team too, 2-2.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good battle up there. Mel Jones, of course, she's loving her commentary, so good on her. It's turning out to be a cracking series. Really good. I can't wait for this.
And as added, not as an Australian fan, but with England winning that last one day, the point system means if they win the test match, well, the Aussies are going to have to dominate the T20 series. Talk about domination, South Africa versus Bangladesh. That was a clean sweep.
Yeah.
South Africa just pumped them in every game. And just to put the nail in the coffin, David Miller, 35 ball 100 in the last T20 game, the quickest one of all time at international level. His quote was, a bit scratchy early, China. Hit one or two good ones. And decided to keep going. Didn't he keep going?
Why?
He's such a thrilling player to watch, David Miller. A lot of power.
He's an interesting player because he probably frustrates a hell of a lot of people with his inconsistency. But when you get it right like that, it's amazing to watch the ball striking ability. I've actually witnessed him hit the ball better in a T20 game in the IPL where he actually consistently struck the ball, I reckon, 20 rows back into a stadium. I first came across him in Hong Kong Sixers.
Oh, he'd be awesome in that format.
Yeah, he was unbelievably good. And this is before he'd even, debuted in international cricket. He hit these balls that went from Hong Kong and I reckon landed in Taipei, though. I love him. I reckon he's a great athlete. Good guy, too. And absolute destruction of the Bangladesh team.
Hey, just about, where do you sit on... we've got the spirit of cricket. What do you think about the spirits of cricket?
Spirits.
On the back of Sri Lankan captain Dinesh Chandimal has suggested that the test win against Pakistan over there in UAE was down to witchcraft.
Down to witchcraft.
Down to witchcraft. He got a blessing from a spirit. And he quoted saying, you can have talent, but without these blessings, you can't move forward. I mean, is that in the spirits of the game, you using the spirits of the game?
So it wouldn't be out of comment to say, my God.
No.
I'm just bemused by this. I don't understand. Finally, they got a win. They haven't won for 15 games.
They got flogged in the one day. So what happened to the spirits witchcraft then? And it's on the back of a week earlier, Sri Lankan's sport minister, and they're generally the chairman of selectors in Sri Lanka. And if someone can correct me if I'm wrong, that's fine. He ordered the struggling national team to use witchcraft. Ahead of the test series. So when you're doing your game plans, how do you fit a game plan against a team that's using witchcraft?
I've no idea. What do? Do they make voodoo dolls of the Pakistan fast bowling community or their batsmen and
I don't know, and there's a bit of astrology in there as well. I mean, in Australian cricket, I don't remember us going to witchcraft. There was a few prayers at times, when you're getting flogged over there in India or personally. And I mean, probably the most religious player that I played with was Big Matthew Hayden, the Hayden one. Big Dossie.
Religious, and unreligious.
But his dad was a... But you know how he used to cross himself when he got 100 for Australia?
He did.
And there was that famous story, though, he's playing for Queensland in the middle, brought up the 100 and just raised the bat and didn't cross himself. And Jimmy Marr, his opening partner, said, "Hey, Haydos, doesn't God watch Queensland Shield cricket?" That's about it, isn't it?
Classic story. It's exactly right. That it was the Hayden way, beautiful way of self-promotion. He probably would have got a nomination for that sort of stuff. But Jimmy was spot on. Absolutely spot on saying that does God not watch Sheffield Shield cricket? What he was good at, though, Haydos, was he blessed himself about 32 times or 30 times in Test match cricket. So he was pretty good at that. He was an absolute gun.
Special guest time. What a treat for Hodgie and I to chew the fat with a funny, funny man. He stars on Utopia on Channel 2, does Brekkie on 104.3 for Gold FM in Melbourne. He's just released a book, This Shirt Won't Iron Itself. It's of course, comedian, funny guy, Anthony Limo Lehman. You're on the Bowlology Report. You're on the Bowlology Report. You've been talking about it for years. Get me on. Well, we've only been going 9 episodes. But on the back of the launch of your book, This Shirt Won't Iron Itself, this is a big couple of days for yourself.
Yeah, it's a week full of highlights. And who said dreams don't come through? You know, I may have written a book, but now I'm on the Bowlology Report.
Hey, mate, where did the motivation to write the book come from? Was it a life dream, you know, to go as an 8-year-old, I want to write a autobiography at some stage?
I had never thought about writing a book until a publisher gave me the advance. And then I went, oh, now seems like a good
enough time. Hey, now I've read the book, love the book. There's a lot of football in there, and Hodgie, what about this? He's named a lot of the chapters after Hawthorn premierships since 1978. So it's a very thick book.
Yeah, I could imagine that, yeah.
And you're a Melbourne supporter. If he was a Melbourne supporter, it'd be a one-page flyer.
There wouldn't be any book. Yeah, it'd just be a forward.
But Limo, what about your love of cricket? What sort of cricketer were you?
I was a, how would I describe myself? I was an impatient cricketer.
Patient.
I didn't want to hang around blocking the ball and defending. I just wanted to score my runs very quickly. I had no respect for any bowler I ever faced. Like, if you said to me, yeah, so you've watched me play golf.
Yeah.
I have a fairly aggressive attitude. Yeah. It was the same when I played cricket. If you said to me, defend the first 5 balls and the 6th ball will be loose, you can have a crack at that, I would have gone, oh, I can't wait that long.
So Limo,
trotting the first ball for 6.
So do you think Glenn Maxwell's modelled himself on your junior cricket? Do you think so?
What's that, Oji?
I said, do you think Glenn Maxwell's modelled himself on your junior cricket?
I think he's taken a bit from me, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? Talk us through your highest score, your best innings, or your best bowled, best ball bowled.
At the same time.
Right.
Here's how and why. So I'll describe the ball to you first. I've come off about 2 steps. I've rolled my arm over as slowly as I possibly can. I've released the ball at the top of the arc as I'm delivering from maximum height. I've put the tiniest bit of fizz on it, but that was accidental. I didn't mean to. It's landed on a good length, and it has hit middle stump 3/4 of the way up. that might sound like it's all a good result. No one on my team applauded or cheered. They stared at me, going, what are you doing? The batsman was incredulous. The crowd booed, and here's why. It was a charity cricket day. And the batsman at the time was Carrie Bickmore.
Oh.
And I've gone straight to her and just
And what are you doing? Running away, punching the air.
I I read the tea leaves pretty quickly and knew this wasn't the time to celebrate.
How did you celebrate? Did you give the airplane or just a big high five? What was the celebration? Yes.
Well, there's no one to high five because they're all running away from you.
No, there was no high fiving. But I, Hodgie, when I did celebrate, I really didn't hold back.
Right. Okay.
I maximised every celebration ever across any sporting endeavour that I've ever had. I offered a celebration if I felt it was worthwhile. Would involve running towards the opposition bench just to let them know.
That's a little bit
the man of the hour.
It's a little bit West Indian like that behaviour.
Yeah, you could say they've modelled some of their celebrations
on mine. Yeah, true, we love it.
Hey, Lee, mate, what about your first memories of going to the Adelaide Oval? Your dad used to take there, I think the first series was 1978-79, the establishment were playing World Series cricket, boys weren't, but I think Rodney Hogg was opening the bowling. What were your thoughts of your first Adelaide Test?
Yeah, I just fell in love with Adelaide Oval. The minute that I walked into that joint, I just bloody loved it. And because I had always been a cricket fan, but when the old man took me there, and we weren't that great, but we had, as a South Australian, we always considered Hoggy one of ours because he was playing Shield cricket in South Australia. So it was nice to have some South Australian representation. Rick Darling was playing as well, so that was exciting for me. I think he hit 15. Great, now I've got a duck, as I recall. But I used to, as a kid, so imagine, think back to when you're about 10, 9 or 10. I used to hang around the nets at Adelaide Oval. Now, remember when the nets used to push up against the entrance, the car park entrance at Adelaide Oval?
Yep.
And you could stand just outside the nets there. I used to stand there praying for a ball to come through the nets so I could retrieve it and throw it back to Alan Border or whoever. And you know, as a kid, you had that little thought in your head going, maybe they'll see that I'm a really good throw. And then it's like me in for a
hit. I know that. What about, it's good that you got really good memories of that test match, but there's a rumour that you missed a complete day's cricket because you're actually kicked out of the test before a ball was even bowled.
Well, it's more than a rumour, that's a truma.
It's a truma.
it was actually a one day game at Adelaide Oval, and it was actually India, New Zealand, right? And I got there early with my mates because we wanted to get an early start.
So it's a try series.
You got to get it. It's a try series, and we used to have three games in Adelaide over the Australia Day. Long weekend. We got in there early, and these Kiwi guys were arcing up on the hill, so we were getting a bit hippy back towards them. And then they were getting a bit lippy. And then I was nominated spokesperson for our group to take control of the sledging. And it got a bit loud, a bit boisterous. And apparently I was swearing too loudly. So security came over and grabbed me. They said, "You're out, mate." And I said, "What for?" They said, "You've been swearing too loudly." Then all of my mates, in inverted commas, have piled in and gone, "Yeah, get rid of him. He's been annoying."
Oh, no.
So I get kicked out. So I've got the indignity, and I lost the song in the ensuing kick-out. So I've got one song, I've got a pair of West Adelaide footy shorts, and a singlet on, and I get kicked out through the entrance to the Victor Richardson Gates while families are walking in, and I get thrown out. And my wallet fell out on the hill as well, so I didn't have a wallet. I had one song, no wallet. I went to the Queen's Head, and luckily I knew the landlord, he let me have a tab for the day. But what was funny about sitting at the Queen's Head for the day is that everyone who gets kicked out of the cricket goes to the Queen's Head. So across by the end of the day, there's Roland sitting at the front bar, and every time the door to the pub would open, we'd all turn around and go, "What did you do?" The bloke walking through and go, "Oh, bloody watermelon on my head."
Hey, Limo, thanks for chatting. I'll tell you what you've got to do, Pete, the podcasters listening to this, is get yourself a copy of That Shirt Won't Iron Itself at all good bookshops, shops, Limo.
Yes, and some bad ones as well, Flemo.
Thanks, mate. We'll talk soon. What a legend.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember playing the test match at Adelaide, the one test match that I did play there. After 4 o'clock in the afternoon, under that scoreboard where West End gets consumed all day, I reckon there's a scuffle or a push around probably every 20 minutes or so. Yeah. So easily down at fine leg there.
He got done for swearing. How much swearing would have been done on the hill?
Oh, it was probably legal back there in the 70s or 80s.
It is one of the great grounds, the Adelaide Oval. And I like how, well, in the end, the scoreboard and the fig leaves, I think they're heritage listed, so they couldn't make a total dome. Yeah. But I love the feature that you've still got the hill, the scoreboard, the fig trees, and then if you want to go corporate, you've got that. You want the members out the back. It's almost like a complete cricket ground.
It's unbelievable. I love playing there for Adelaide Strikers. It's a real highlight. I actually think it's one of the best grounds in the world, if not the best. To play there and enjoy it, it's actually transformed the city. It's amazing what one bridge can actually do as well. Just to make sure that
people... To be able to walk to a sporting venue is such an appeal.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And in the community, it's actually a very friendly community transporting from the city over to the ground, and using those footbridges is great.
How many games do you reckon you have to play to get yourself a little statue out the back? My mates Buff and Dizzy have got them.
Buff and Dizzy are there, yep.
I played two games. Testing it somewhat.
Do you actually want it? Because all that happens is the seagulls come and just shit all over you anyway. So
I reckon it'd be cheaper if you got one for me, because they've already done Dizzy.
Yes.
The skinny guy with a big nose. True. So they could just do the same role. And instead of having a mullet, you just give them a shorter haircut and there's Fleming.
Yeah, you could do it.
It'd be cheaper.
I'd probably like to see one more out the front of the MCG than Adelaide.
No, I'd love it out the G. Hey, Hodgie, what about... This is the segment, and the public have been stopping me. I've seen a few celebrities too going, I'm scared to tweet. I'm scared to go on Instagram, Facebook, because I know Hodge is out there and he's watching. So it is the Hodgie Social Media Self-Promoter Award far away.
Well, we've got a mixture, actually. I've tried to come up with a nice mixture of self-promotion this week. So there are a few random ones, which is pretty cool. And the reason they're a bit random is... You like this sort of genre. But we'll start with the sportsmen or cricket lovers, as we know. The first one is Andy Ma. Now, Andy...
Yeah, Raider.
Yeah, he was just... happened to be in SEN right in front with... He's just saying two legends and a pickle. So he's explaining that he's the pickle. But the other two legends were Kumar Sangakkara and Mahela Jayawardena.
Oh, okay.
So he's just taking a random snap, just saying that here I am, lucky enough to be with two legends. So I thought that was just an honourable mention from Andy. The next one is Matthew Wade. Now, Wadey probably has had plenty of time on his hands to be able to get on social media, because he hasn't been out in the middle too long with a stick.
He's got good hands.
So he was put up that... he put on Instagram actually a service which is provided that if you're needing to move any money overseas, check these guys out. Awesome service, great rates, etc.
Oh my god!
So it's a company a la like Travelex to say that if you have any sort of funds that you need moving overseas.
I know some guys.
I know them. And we all know what that means is he's getting a free service to transport any money that he's made overseas. Blah, 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 blah.
Hodge, you're all over
We're on to that sort of rubbish, Matty. So come on, we know that.
Because we could potentially do it ourselves.
Yep. A fond listener of the Bowlology Report has made this segment only through a little bit of a distasted tweet. Now, Ben Lachlan.
Yes, we love him.
My good friend Ben Lachlan says, it's disappointing there was no mention of the upcoming Hong Kong Sixers. Hopefully we get looked after better than by at Qantas. Now, we're not having a crack at Qantas. We're having a crack at Benny. He's disappointed only because we didn't mention that he and his other five mates were playing in the Hong Kong Sixers. Benny, we didn't care less whether you were playing in the Hong Kong Sixers or not. And
he's used us
to promote himself to say that, yes, you played Hong Kong Sixers for Australia. Well done. Pat on the back, Benny. Good job. Now that we've mentioned you,
yeah,
you'll be happy. Glenn Maxwell makes an appearance. And this is a golf one, actually, for Maxi. So there's Maxi with Finchie, Peter Siddle and Dan Christian playing a game of golf. And we know this, what it's all about. Great day here at Sanctuary Lakes Golf Club, which, as soon as you do that, it's a free round.
Yes.
Free round.
And I want more free rounds.
Course is in great nick, blah, 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 at Callaway Golf Australia. So not only is he getting a free golf game from Sanctuary Lakes, he's also getting some free golf clubs from Callaway. So well done, Maxi. Lovely bit of self-promotion there to get your sponsors in. Well done. We also have a random one here, and you'll love this because you're a music fan. In Excess themselves have congratulated themselves. Congratulations to In Excess for 50 million. That's all it says. Whether it's 50 million copies of an album or million bucks, we don't know. But they congratulated themselves for self-promotion of making 50 million.
Just randomly like that.
Yep. Complete randomness. So that's great. We love that. Andy Anderson, whoever Andy Anderson is, he's obviously a listener to our podcast, has dobbed the great Mobile One HSV driver, James Courtney, in. So Andy Anderson has dobbed James in for... James got
this is a good one.
This is a beauty. He's got a photo of himself. It's a selfie with a lawnmower in the background. We'll get to that in a second. But he's got nothing better for clearing the head than cutting the grass and streaming beats. So on my @Boost. So let's on Boost. Sorry. So Boost is actually a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Sponsor of the car.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is we're getting.
He's going multiple. Yeah,
multiple. And whilst loving my Toro Oz, Time Master, which is the lawnmower. So he's nailed two sponsorship deals in the one tweet.
But it's almost a record self-promotion in the self-promotion.
Exactly. But not only is he done, he's taken the photo with the top off. So he's got the rig out.
Oh, my God.
It was a triple treat from James. So well done to Andy Anderson for dobbing.
Yeah, thank you. And we want more of that.
The super race car driver in. I'm a massive...
But he knows you're a massive V8 fan. Massive he knows V8 you're nothing. Scouting the internet. And he's saying to you, Bradley Hodge, I don't care.
Yep, absolutely.
I'll do a self-promotion. I'll do a double one. I'll do a triple one in one.
Yep. Well,
he's going to have to get maximum votes.
Yeah, I reckon
so too. Unless
you
got better.
No, that's it for me.
Are you going to just do a bit of a special mention to two blokes we're big fans of on the Bowlology Report, particularly in the self-promoter award, KP and Pup?
Yeah.
Kevin Peterson, Michael Clark. I almost feel like they're trolling us now. Yeah. Well, more KP than Pup.
I did do that. I actually made a...
Because he focused on the legs again.
For those that didn't understand, I actually was in India and I went to the gym and I had no thought about doing legs at all, but... I did self-promotion. I got the little gym guy to say, mate, can you take a photo of me doing some legs just for Pup and KP? So I actually put it out there. I actually got a response from a Pup and said, good job, dodgeball, or thumbs up, whatever it was. I actually replied to... I was doing tweeting across to everyone anyway. I was trying to tweet back to my wife. And I actually just put, yes, honey, to Michael Clark.
So did you delete it or...?
No, I just left it on there. I thought I...
Hey, what did he come back? No, no sweetie.
I don't know what he says.
He's thinking, Hodgie's a bit different.
Yeah, I should have sucked up to him that much when he was Australian captain. I would have played a couple more games, maybe, yeah.
No, and ourselves, let's be honest, you and me do a bit of self-promotion. We could almost give ourselves two votes a week. But Courtney's maximum votes.
Definitely.
How many people are nominated... Here, five or six?
Yeah, there's six. There's In Excess, Andy Marr, Matthew Wade, Ben Lachlan, and Glenn Maxwell.
I'm going six, Courtney. I'm going five, Wadey for multiples.
Multiples, yeah.
Maxi Four for multiples.
Yeah.
Benny Lachlan, like, just slyly getting us involved, but he had an ulterior motive.
Yeah, we
know that. So it's sort of...
We don't fall for that.
No, we don't fall for that, but very crafty Benny. Yeah. A bit like he's bowling. One of the craftier T20 bowlers going around.
Very good bowler.
I'll go two to Radar.
Yep.
Because he did take the mickey out of himself a little
bit.
And we'd love to have a photo with Kumar Sangakkara and Mahala Chaudhary.
Wouldn't we?
Two of the best players of all time. Two of the greatest men, I believe, going around. And so who does that leave one vote for?
In excess, who got 50 million.
Oh, geez. I'm going to swap that. They're getting... I'll just give them two because that's just...
We're just jealous anyway. We're just... Yeah.
But that was... In excess self-promotion.
Yes.
That's my gag. Okay, that's the social media self-promotion. Hey, mate, you're doing well. And thank you to everyone that's actually giving us suggestions these days.
Yep, absolutely.
They're helping us out.
Well, Andy Anderson was on top of that for sure. Well done.
Okay, our guide to this week is selecting Australian teams and to get into the best mode to help yourself because it's an important job.
Yep.
Like, it is the national team. And a lot of the office debate, a lot of the when you're waiting to bat in the dressing rooms at club cricket are talking about they're doing it at the hair salons. Even, you know, the ladies are just
going, the chit chat in the hair salons.
Ladies are going, oh, is Maxi at six or, you know, is Nev at seven? So there's a lot of pressure on the Australian selectors, and I appreciate the work they do. But this is a guide on how to select teams.
Yeah.
And I think one of the selectors has put his hand up, and I like what he's done.
Yeah,
there's a game at the Gabba at your home town.
Yeah,
and this man has gone and flown down to Melbourne and played golf.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
because it clears the mind. There's heaps of guys taking stats. You know, there's no doubt he'll watch the highlights on cricket.com.au, and in some ways, by him still playing a game golf, not cricket. There's frustrations in there. That there's self doubt. So he's actually, in some ways, putting himself into the shoes of the cricketers he's picking, even though he's playing the game of golf. So I think to Greg Chappell, I think you've set a really good standard.
I think it's awesome. I think that if anyone wants to be a selector in the future, get yourself down to the driving range, hit a few balls.
What else can you do?
Make a few putts. And look, what he's done, I think, which is sheer genius, he's developed the thought process of giving himself 6 hours on a golf course to consider who he's going to be at number six.
Yeah. I think he only plays shield hours too. Like, he only plays golf between 11 and 6.
So if you're a selector, you have to actually play golf when cricket's on. That's what we're getting at there. So,
well, I reckon we could be potential
absolutely
selectors down the track because we like our golf.
Yep, we love golf. So anyone that does play golf, you're actually spot on. You're on a path.
We actually, you don't know it, but you're training to be an Australian selector.
That's what you're doing. Yeah.
Okay, that's our guide to being an Australian selector. Hey, Hodgie, that's it for episode 9. Good to have some guests.
Yeah, wasn't it?
A
great
celebrity
guest.
Lisa
from
Sydney. Lisa Stelaker, and good luck to the girls, obviously, in the test match. We'll be wrapping that up in episode 10. And then do you reckon in a week's time we'll know who's going to be batting six in a wicket?
No, I don't think we do.
I think we'll be debating the same thing again.
Yep.
Anthony Lehman, you've got to get the book. This shirt won't iron itself. Hey, subscribe. You've been saying it. Subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud. We love your feedback. But that's it from the Bowlology Report. And Bevo, can you do it just one more time?
Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.